We'll go ahead and officially get started. Unless my sister at the table. All right. What I want to do on tonight, we'll deal with this again, but I don't want to delay in giving this information because I've been wanting to do it for a minute. But it's just that because we covered Acts chapter 7 for a long period of time, I wasn't able to do it. So I'm going to do it tonight in training school to a certain perspective, and then we'll deal with it more so in detail. I don't know if you guys recall what I had mentioned is that when you look at the book of Acts, it really gives you a understanding of what was going on as far as the church is concerned. I've come to realize the importance of the book of Acts and how it really reveals at least the beginning portion of the church and it gives some details about Paul's it gives an understanding about Paul's writings as you look at these different things. So I have let me pull up the Bible here. And so I have some things that I want to show you from the book of Acts, and then we'll just kind of move through some things to give you an understanding of what this lesson is really about, and I explain after I pray. Father, y'all, we bless your name on tonight. We thank you for just the opportunity to present ourselves to you so that we can get an understanding of your word on tonight. Just give us the wisdom that's necessary to continue to walk in the path of righteousness. And we just bless you for all the things that you do. In the name of Yehoshua, we pray. Amen. Alrighty. Now, y'all know how Yah deals with me. And so a lot of times when he gives me certain things, I don't necessarily come, what was that? I don't necessarily come in just with a set of scripture all the time. I just move as the Spirit leads me to do it. And so if anyone had opportunity to look at my Bible, you would see how my Bible looked like it got drawings and road maps and scriptures. And I mean, it's just stuff, you know, it's a weird thing to look at, you know, but it all makes sense to me. I'm always writing in it. I'm always drawing lines from here to there. And just to give you an example, most of my pages, I don't know if you can see it, it looks something like this. Because I'm always writing in it, and it's something God's showing me, you know, I just always write it and stuff like that. And so from doing that, that's why I have it with me now, although we have a Bible, so to speak, up where everybody can see it, and I just wish it was possible for everybody to see where mine is looking, but that's okay. And I'll give you some things from it in order to show you what I mean as far as the lesson is concerned on tonight. When you see Paul talk about certain things and as he's moving through these different countries, then the Bible will reference certain names of cities and things like this in the book of Acts. When that happens, pay close attention to that because it's necessary for us to understand 1 Corinthians, well, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. So when you're reading the book of Acts, every time you get to a city or whatever where you see Paul traveling, take note of that. Take it in your notes because when you get over into those other books that I mentioned, then you'll say, okay, when Paul was here in Acts, he's writing to these people in reference to some events that actually happened in Acts. So your Corinthians, your Philippians, and things like that are letters. They are letters. And so when you read these letters, you'll get an understanding of the time frame where Paul was going through these different nations And he's dealing with these events, and so he's coming back talking about these things in his letters. Now, you have to understand that in these letters that he's writing, when you, as we go through the book of Acts and our Sabbath messages, you'll realize that, wait a minute, Paul has already been taken, he's already been taken into captivity in a lot of these things that he's writing. So he's writing about, he's writing letters to things to the church that, and things that he's dealt with because he's in prison. He's in prison or he's dealing with some other things. And you'll see, you'll see it throughout these writings, and I want to show this to you. Now, first place I'll do this is to go to 2 Corinthians. And then I'll move through some things in 2 Corinthians, and then, you know, we'll just see how y'all lead us as we go. Because, like I said, it's just coming straight off the press, so there's nothing pre-prepared or anything like that. I'm just moving as the Spirit of Yah leads me to move, and I'm just trying to find the best place to start. So y'all just kind of bear with me. Okay, let's just start at Acts chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 1 to verse 8. Okay, and as we read from verse 1 to verse 8, my granddaughter's coming in, so she hollered Paul, so y'all just can't ignore. So we'll look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 1 to verse 8, and then I want you to pay attention to things that's being said here, and then we'll go back in the book of Acts and see. Okay? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Yahushua, Mashiach, Jesus Christ, by the will of Yah, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of Yah, which is at Corinth. Okay, so we have Corinth here. It says, with all the saints which are in all Acacia. Okay, grace be unto you. So we know this is Corinthians now. So we know he's talking about which is at Corinth. So we know that Corinthians is the church of Corinthians is 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians is referencing things that happened in Corinth. It says, with all the saints which are in Acacia. Now, let's deal with the word Acacia here so that we can understand how this is being dealt with. As we look at Acacia here, it says, and you help me also, son, if there are some things that you see. When we look at Acacia here, it says Greece. So we know that he's dealing with Corinth. We know that he's dealing with Corinth, and so it says Greece. Acacia is a Greek. It's Greece. It says a country of Europe. So we know from reading this, Corinth and all the Corinth, Acacia, we'll deal with the word Corinth. Corinth is a city of Greece. So we know this is Europe. Okay? We know that this is the territory of Greece. All right? So now as we've established that, we move in verse 2. So we know he's dealing with Gentile nations in Europe, in Greece. Okay? Then verse 2 says, grace be to you and peace from Yah, our Father, and from our Yahushua, Mashiach, Jesus the Christ. It says, blessed be Yah, even the Father of our Lord, Yahushua, Mashiach, Christ, Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the Yah of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of Yah. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Now, he's talking about suffering, but as we read these things, you know, you get different Christians that will talk about things from the perspective that, you know, we suffer with Christ, we reign with him, and then they start to give their perspective on suffering with Christ, thus reigning with him. It is not in the same perspective as what the Scripture gives us. We have to stay within, you know, we deal with this all the time. We have to stay within the precept upon precept, line upon line. So this suffering, we have to understand what Paul is talking about. before we can include ourselves in this tribulation, in this suffering. Okay? We can't just jump out there because we're going through something, say, I'm suffering for Jesus. No, it ain't the same thing that Paul was talking about. You know, maybe suffering because we stupid one fast or another, or making the wrong decision in one fast or another. So we can't turn around now and throw that same suffering in there as far as Christ is concerned without knowing what Paul is referencing suffering, or what the suffering that Paul is talking about is in reference to. So we'll find these things out as we're reading the scripture. We allow the scripture to interpret itself. Don't forget, you got some jump in there. You always, you know, stop me. Now, as he says in now, verse 5 again, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds in Christ. Let's look at the word consolation just to make sure we're understanding now. Consolation here is, it says comfort. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our comfort also abounded by Christ. So we suffer because of him, then we also comforted by him. Okay? Following out the scripture that he don't let us go through anything that we can't bear, Yah doesn't, without providing a way for us to escape so that we may be able to bear it. Okay? Just another scripture to kind of coincide with that. Verse 6 now says, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation or comfort and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. So it lets us know that this suffering that they're talking about is from a perspective of getting the gospel out to the Gentiles, and they're having issues while they're getting this gospel out. So they're saying our suffering, our affliction and all that is for your comfort and your salvation. Okay? Now, verse 7 said, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that ye are partakers of the suffering, which shall ye be also of the consolation. You partakers of the suffering. What suffering? What suffering Paul is talking about? Paul said, you partakers of the suffering that we're going through. You also partakers of the consolation too. Verse 8 now, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of our life. So we understand now that he's making it clear what the affliction is. Paul has some issues in getting this gospel out, and that's what we'll see as we continue to go through the book of Acts and our Sabbath services, and even talk about it maybe, you know, in these lessons here as y'all lead us to. So now we understand again as we look at verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Okay, well, let's deal with Asia now. Verse 8 now, we have Asia, it's Asia Minor. Okay, Asia Minor or Asia. So Asia. So when we look at this, it starts out talking about Corinth or Greece. So what is vitally important for us to do now, before we continue to move on, we need to figure out what Paul was dealing with for him to make this statement from verse 1 all the way up to verse 8 at this point. So now the only way we can understand what he's saying to the Corinthians is to go back and see what he's talking about in reference to Asia. All right? This is how we're starting to really study the scripture, rightly dividing the word of truth, so that we don't just pull out a scripture now and just say, well, if you suffer for Christ, you're going to also reign with it, without knowing what Paul is talking about. Okay, it's violent that we be precept upon precept, line upon line. Now, since I've done this, so to speak, a little bit ahead of time, in just my studies, we can go back. We can just go back and look at these things and get an understanding of what Paul is talking about. Now, in order to understand this, let's go to Acts chapter 13. We'll go to Acts chapter 13, and we'll start to see some things that Paul is referring to. And we're going to move through Acts chapter 13 all the way past Acts chapter 20. Oh, this is what Paul is talking about. So when he's saying this to the Corinthians, he's referring to Acts chapter 13, and we'll start at verse 44, all the way to Acts chapter 20, where he's dealing with these issues that happened to him. So we want to look at this, and we'll know how to see the scripture, because we don't want to just from now on just go pick out little nuggets out of the scripture to teach us to do sermonettes or whatever. We want to rightly divide the word of truth. So when we lay information out, it is clearly understood because it is the scripture interpreting itself. And once we allow the scripture to do that, it is awesome to see it all come together from that understanding. Now, we'll look at Acts chapter 13. Do I want to start at verse 44? Yeah, I'll start at verse 44. And if we need to move further back, then I will. Okay, Acts 13, verse 44. This is how we understand what's being said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Acts 13, verse 44 says, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of Yah. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy, and spake against those which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of Yah should first have been spoken to you." He's talking to the nation of Israel. He said, "But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." This is the first time Paul now turns his ministry from the Jews and starts going to the Gentiles specifically. Paul, just like the other apostles, was preaching also to our nation. But he kept going through conflict. Now imagine Paul now, him being a Pharisee, being of this religious sect that was coming against the message of the Messiah. Now he's converted, as we'll read about it in Acts, I think it's Acts chapter 9. We'll read about it in the Sabbath service, because we're in Acts 13 now. Now Paul is preaching Christ also, and he's coming to all of this conflict. So they're saying now, he's contradicting, spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of Yah, verse 46 of Acts 13, that the word of Yah should first have been spoken to you, but seeing he put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so, verse 47 now, for so hath Yah commanded us. So it's not their own doing. Yah sending Paul to the Gentiles. Okay? But he went to his nation to try to reach them, but at the same time he's dealing with some issues. You will see as we go back and look at Acts chapter 8, Paul now, once he's converted, he starts to deal with our nation. Our nation is fighting against it so hard, he now goes to the Gentiles because Yah is beating him to do it in the first place. But you're seeing how he gets to start to deal with the Gentiles. So when you look at this, it makes it clear that Paul didn't just jump out there and just start saying, "Well, I ain't going to talk to the nation of Israel. I'm going straight to the Gentiles." No, he's experiencing trouble and conflict, like he's saying to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians. Okay? Now, verse 47 says, "For so hath Jehovah commanded us, saying, I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the end of the earth." Now, when our nation today, you have brothers that think that that salvation is not for the Gentiles, that is a direct contradiction to the command that Yah gave the apostles. The apostles' doctrine said we're supposed to teach the gospel to the Gentiles. Salvation is available for all men, to the Jew first, then the Gentile. When he says Jew first, it's just an order of rank, okay? Just from the perspective of how y'all do things as far as order is concerned. Say that, you're going to be too loud. Okay, as far as order is concerned. Now, verse 47 says, says, but so hath Jehovah commanded us, I have sent thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Verse 48 says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of Jehovah. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So it lets you know that all of them believe. Okay? Let us know that then all of them believe. It's just that all of them didn't believe. Now, verse 49 says, and the word of Jehovah was published throughout all the region. But the Jews, now verse 40, but the Jews, our nation, stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. You have something?
I mean, it's almost like, the prophets of old kind of deal,
mm-hmm.
where, they say what they'll say of God, and people don't want to hear it, so they,
You constantly see that. You constantly see that with our nation. That's why, as we dealt with Stephen, Stephen is killed because Stephen takes us through our history. And then tell our nation, say, and you're the children of the same one, just like Elder said, who disobeyed and killed the prophet. They turn around and kill him. So our apostles is always dealing with issues in association with our nation fighting against the truth. Guess what? We're going to experience the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who are going to fight this the most is religious folks who are part of our own people. That's who's going to fight the most. History is going to repeat itself, so to speak. That's why God's going to purge Israel. Because we have been the problem from the beginning, and we're going to be the problem at the end. When truth starts coming out, guess who's going to fight? Religious leaders of Israel. Who's going to fight it? Okay? Now, verse 50 says, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. Now, we deal with Iconium. We want to understand what that is. Asia Minor. Y'all see this here? What did Paul say in Corinthians? Let's go back.
You see.
I didn't hear you. Go ahead. What would you say?
I was just going to say the trouble that he had in Asia.
In Asia. So as you see this here, as you see here, he said that they had trouble in Asia. And verse 51 said, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Asia Minor. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So it's showing us how they begin to have this trouble, because when you go back up, I'm going to see if it's going to say it in Acts chapter 13. Acts 13 verse 1 says, now there was in the church there was an Antioch. So you look at Antioch is inferior. So it's showing you how Paul is moving around. Okay, and then it says certain prophets and teachers, verse 1, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene. See, and so it's giving us information, getting us down to these verses, and as we continue to look at these things, I'm trying to go up here just to show you. I'm gonna start at verse 14 says, but when they departed from Persia, let's look at Persia. I'm just showing you how to see this stuff. Verse 14. But when they departed from Persia, which is Asia Minor, okay, they came to Antioch, Syria. So you see them moving around. And as you continue to move down, I'm just trying to get down to the verse. I think they end up back in Jerusalem, and that's where they're having the issues. I just want to make sure before we move from that. I think at this point, and I'm just kind of scanning through, and you help me on this, as we start to deal with verse 44 when we started, I think our impression gives that they're in Jerusalem. But I'm not for sure at this point. So I'm going to go back up before we move on into this in more detail. Because verse 18, and when he had destroyed seven nations, it's Canaan, he's talking about the thing. So I'm thinking that they're in Jerusalem at this point. Unless the scripture says anything different. And like I said, I'm scanning real as fast as I can just to make sure. Because verse 13 is the last verse where I see. It says, they returned to Jerusalem, but when they departed from Persia, they came to Antioch. So I'm believing at this point, but when they departed from Persia, they came to Antioch, verse 14, in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. After reading of the law, Paul stands up, verse 16, verse 17. So at this point, they're still in what, Antioch? But when they departed from Perga, verse 13 or 14, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. So I want to make sure we're still, they're in Antioch. Okay. And so he's talking to the men of Israel. He gives the history. He's still giving the history. Verse 27, for they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which were, I think he's still talking about, verse 16, Christ, where they neglect him in Jerusalem. Y'all raised him from the dead. Y'all just bear with me on this. So at this point, and Elder, you help me, at this point it gives the impression that they're in Antioch.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it gives the impression that they're in Antioch, so they're kicked out of Antioch, and from Antioch they go to Asia Minor. We on the same page?
It looks like it's in the same, well,
so the north, Corinth is in Asia Minor.
So, and they're close by each other. So,
right. Antioch is Syria, correct?
So when they left from wherever, Perga is in Asia Minor. But then, according to what it's saying, Antioch is not, I guess. And then when they go back to, it's hard to follow. It's saying that, I take that back. It looks like it's all in Asia Minor because it says Antioch in Pisidia, and Pisidia is saying it's in Asia Minor.
Right. Okay. Now, even as far as, I think Antioch is Asia Minor. I just need to see it again. What verse was Antioch on?
14.
14, okay. Let me just look to it just their faith in Syria, so.
But look at Pisidia. It says Antioch in Pisidia. When you look
you're
at
correct.
Pisidia, it says
you're correct.
Asia Minor.
Okay, so they're in Asia Minor. I want to make sure I'm correct because I didn't look at the Antioch in Pisidia. So it is Asia Minor. So there's an Antioch that's in Syria, but then there's an Antioch in Asia Minor also.
Well, I think Syria is considered Asia Minor.
Asia Minor is it? Okay. I just want to make sure.
Because when you look at what it said for Asia Minor, it says the Turkey area, where if you look,
what Syria is,
all that's right there together.
Okay. So I just want to make sure we're on the same page. This is how we study, y'all. And so from that perspective, as we get down to verse Iconium, Iconium is Asia Minor, okay? So all of this that they're dealing with is Asia Minor. That's what I wanted to make sure. Now, as you look at Acts chapter 13, all the way to Acts 20, verse 3, Paul is telling them about the issues in Corinthians that he's having in Asia Minor. So from Acts 13 all the way to Acts 20 is the problems that he's talking about. He's having the Asia Minor. And when you start to read Acts 13, all the way to Acts chapter 20, when you read those seven chapters, you'd be like, wow, boy, he went through a whole lot. So he's writing to the Corinthians, explaining these things to the Corinthians. Now, we'll go back to Corinthians. I'm just showing you how you know, you understand these things. We have to take the time to understand these things. We can't just jump in the scripture and just read. We got to study. Now, as he's discussing this, he's talking to Corinth, which is Greece. So he's telling the church in, let's just say, Greece region about the issues he had in Asia Minor. Okay? So that's what he's explaining to him. So when you get in 2 Corinthians, you be like, okay, he's talking about some issues, but now we know where to connect those issues to. And that's how we write and divide the word of truth. Okay? And then as you see these things happening in the book of Acts, as you see a name that's mentioned, you'd be like, okay, this is the stuff that happened right here. And when you get over in Galatians and different things like that, you're able to go all the way back to Acts and say, this is what he's talking about. That's how you have to understand the scripture. Okay? We have to get to the point. And that's what we're going to be doing in the next few weeks. We're going to be looking at this in more detail. And I'm going to give you another example of this now. Let me see. We'll go to verse 10 now. We'll go to verse 10. But let's go back to verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. And we're going to read to verse 10. Okay? 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 says, for we would not. Now, let me stop. When you look at verse 8, again, verse 8, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8 says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. Where do you know you need to, you can see about, you can read about that? What place do we need to go, though?
Acts.
What chapter?
13.
Chapter 13, always Acts what?
20.
That's how we have to study. We can't just take the scripture now and just read it. When you read Asia, or when you in Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, from now on, when you hear Paul or whoever is writing this, mainly Paul said, it's written, you want to find out where he's talking about it's written, that means you got to go back to the law or the Old Testament, the law of the prophets and the Psalms. When he said it's written, or he said, or sometimes he just said, for as it says. When he said stuff like that, okay, where is it saying? Go find it. Go find it. And then when you now are looking at any of these books, and you hear him mention a city, go back and ask and find it. And you'll know what he's talking about. Okay? That's how we study it now. Verse 8 says again, for we would not. You have something?
Thought about it when he was at Antiochus, the same city that was founded from one of those Antiochuses in what we studied before, about
Antiochus the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And because again, as we pointed out, Antioch is in your Syria.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that connects because Antiochus was the king of Syria.
Right.
See how all this study we've been doing is starting to tie together. So now we know Antioch, as Ellen said, is named after Antiochus, and it all comes together because as we've seen Antioch is in your Asia Minor, Syria area, and so now all the dots start to connect. That's how we write and divide. That's how we can stand boldly and preach the truth because we know precept upon precept, line upon line, what we talk about. That's how we got to do the scriptures. This book is awesome when we are able to line everything up like the way God intended us to do and then to go forth and teach it. There's no contradiction when we get to the point where we can do this at this level. There's going to be no contradiction whatsoever. Now, verse 8 again says, for we, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. They almost drove them crazy, even to the point where, as we'll read some things, Paul was stoned and left for dead. That's the trouble he's dealing with when you start to read through all those chapters that we just saw, Acts 13 all the way to Acts chapter 20. Paul went through some issues, okay? Now, pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in Yah was raised to dead. As you see Paul, as he said, Yah who raised the dead, because as you read the scripture, he was stoned, and the scripture said they left him for dead, but all of a sudden, the rest of the disciples, or the men that was with him, the disciples that was with him, Paul was laying there, they thought he was dead, all of a sudden Paul stood up. They stoned him, and the people who stoned him thought he was dead. The men were standing around and thought he was dead. So when you see Paul reference this, you can go right back and read it in Acts. We don't have to guess, because Acts tells us what happened. Okay? Now, verse 10 says, who delivered us from so great a death, and doeth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Paul said, they stoned me, left me for dead. All implications give us that he was dead, and God raised him, and Paul said, God is well able to continue to deliver us. Now, let's let the scripture prove this now. We go to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse 19. Now, we'll see the consistency. Before we read verse 19, where is Paul having the problem? He's telling the Corinthians, where is he having the problem?
In Asia.
Look at verse 19. I want to see where we read, what I want to read. Let's go to verse 18. Verse 17 says, nevertheless, he left not himself without witnesses, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seed. I'm there, so I just continue to read. Rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Verse 18. And with these things, this is Acts chapter 14, verse 18. Acts 14, verse 18. And now it says, and with these things, scarce restrained they, the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from where? Antioch and Iconium, Asia Minor. So Paul is telling, in fact, Corinthians 1, he's telling the church in Greece the issue he had in Asia Minor. Here's the issue. Who persuaded the people, verse 19, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead.
So they followed him, basically. He left Antioch, went to Iconium, but they followed him.
I can take you to the scripture and show you exactly what he just said. See, elders, they would see that because he's seeing the pattern here. The Jews were constantly following Paul, laying in wait to kill him. Even when Paul is taken prisoner, as we will read in Sabbath services, even if Paul is taken into prison, they were trying to get him because Paul, I think he appealed to Caesar, and they had to take him to, I think they had to take him to Rome. When he appealed to Caesar, they had to take him to Rome because he's a Roman citizen. When he appealed, they had to take him, but in the process, the Jews said, we're going to land wait. And when they try to take him to Rome, we're going to kill him. They were constantly trying to kill Paul. So now, as we see verse 19, as Elder pointed out, they're following Paul, trying to kill him, because why? Because of Christ. So when Paul talks about this suffering, he didn't talk about because you had a bad day on the job, you suffering with Christ. This is life-threatening stuff that Paul is talking about. Okay? So as we deal with this, you have something else? Okay, so as we deal with this, we read Acts 14, verse 19 again, and then we'll go right back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, Acts 14, verse 19 says, and when they and there came to the certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, and persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Verse 20, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, as we read Derbe, in Asia Minor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as we deal with this now, when you go back and you now read, as we're reading, as Paul is talking about this, when you get to verse 10, verse 9 and 10, we know what he's talking about. Man, he got stoned. So from all implications from his saying, he said, I was stoned and left for dead, or God's able to raise up, you know, even when my life is online, God still can deliver. That's the confidence we have as a church now. When we stand and preach in truth, and we're standing for the Most High God is well able to even raise from the dead. That's why I always make statements. I'm not afraid of what man can do to me. I'm afraid of no man. If preachers understood this, they wouldn't be lukewarm, making sure they say the right things when they get in front of cameras. Speak the truth. Let God's word be the truth, and every other man alive. Okay. Now, again, we read verse 8, 9, and 10. We know now what Paul's referring to, at least in one case. Verse 8 again says, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8, says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. What? They stoned it. So that's why he's saying this. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. That's what they did. They stoned it. They didn't miss the cannon. Or they killed it. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. That's why I believe he was dead. Because he said in God which raises the dead. Okay? Whom, verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death. He's implying that they killed him. They stoned him to death. That's why he said, y'all raised the dead. Okay? Who delivered us from so great a death and do it deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver. Paul said, if he did it once, he can do it again. Okay? Now, as we read these different things, this is how we start to understand the scripture. Now, one last little thing here. And I'm gonna give you another example, then I'm gonna close to show you how to look at the scriptures, how we look at the scriptures now. Now, as we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and then I'm gonna close. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I got 10 minutes, which is, I guess, enough time to do what I got to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Since you understand how to study, and I'm sticking you out there like that and you're not ready, but I'm going to do it anyhow. Because I'm going to stick you out there and make you think, and then I'm going to go there and show you. I'm just doing a hands-on method by which it teaches us how we should study. Okay? So 2 Corinthians 2, verse 1. Now, we just left 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul now in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, but I determined this with myself. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. But I determined this with myself that I would not come again to you in heaven. For if I make you sorry, who is he that then that maketh me glad? But the same which is made sorry by me. He's talking to the Corinthians. He's telling the Corinthians church that, okay, if I make you sorry, then, you know, based on a nutshell, you're the same one that makes me glad. So it's from the perspective that he's concerned about making them sorry. Okay, now we got to find out, what is Paul talking about in reference to making them sorry? We'll continue to read and let the scripture reveal itself. Verse 2, he said, and I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow for them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. Now, I knew ahead of time I was going to stick you out there and throw you under the bus, but I got to do you this way to teach you how to study. Now, my question is this, verse 3. Who did he write to? How would you make that determination? Paul says in verse 3, and I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. Now, before you think, I got to make you stay within the law. In order to know who he wrote to, what we got to do? What do we have to do? What rule do I always teach us that we have to do in order to know who we wrote to? What is it that we have to do? Let the scripture interpret itself. Find where it is written in the scripture. So at this point, since I have you in chapter 2, you don't know yet. So what do we got to do? Keep reading. But we got to keep the thought that he wrote to someone, and we got to find out what he wrote and who he wrote it to. Y'all with me? Let's keep going. We don't have enough information now because of where I started you. Verse 4 says, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. And he wrote up to him with tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Paul is saying, I wrote you a letter, but I wrote it to you not to grieve you, but that you may be able to see my love. Now, as he continued on, verse 5, he said, but if any have caused grief, he has not grieved me, but in part that I may not overcharge you all. Keep going. Sufficient to such a man is the punishment, is this punishment, which was inflicted by many. Verse 6 is very important. We're going to read verse 7, and we'll come back to verse 6. So that contrariwise, ye are rather to forgive him. So what do we know that this is about? What this is about, based upon verse 6. Remember, you only can interpret what you have read. So verse 6 is talking about what? What is this verse 6 talking about?
Somebody got punished.
Okay? Sufficient is such a man is this punishment. So we understand that a man has been punished. That's what we know. Okay? A man has been punished, which was inflicted by many. So this man was punished, but he was punished by many. As Paul, so we got that understanding. We still don't know who he's written to right now, who he wrote this letter to right now. You know, I do, but now verse 7 says, so that contrariwise, ye are rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such an one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. So what that let us know? It let us know that a man has been punished. And then this man that has been punished, it gives the impression like he has repented, but now Paul is having an issue with the people in the church because the people in the church don't want to forgive the man. Look at it now. Verse 7 says, so that contrariwise, ye ought rather to forgive him. In other words, Paul is saying you ought to forgive him, but you're contrary to that. There's something that these people are doing that Paul is saying you should have forgave him, but you're not operating according to how you should be. And as you read verse 7, he said, and comfort him. If you don't, let's perhaps have such and one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. He is sorry about what he did, but if you don't forgive him, he's going to be swallowed up from guilt. Isn't that amazing what the church do today? One mistake. I'll use Bishop Eddie Long for example, God rest his soul. He makes one mistake, and everybody, we don't know what Yah has done with him from a perspective of him being sorrow about what he did, whether he did or not, because I don't know, I wasn't there. But I'm just going based upon the information that's there, whatever he did, if he went to Yah and was sorry about it and repented before Yah, what is the problem with the church? See this ungodliness that we operate in? We are so self-righteous to the point to where whenever a person makes a mistake, Paul is writing his letter saying, wait a minute, this man has repented, he's sorry about what he did, but you know what? He can't rise up and be confident and blessed because you do bend upon a thing about him, telling him what he did. Isn't it amazing what the scripture can tell us? How the way we even act on today. As he go on, he says now, verse 8, wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. Oh, so we realize that when we do, when someone does wrong and we find out about it, and that individual can repent before Yah, we're constantly holding that over that individual head and condemning them based upon what they do, Yah is saying that is not the love of Yah. But we the church that the Savior is coming to rapture the heaven. Well, man, this is that's why the doctrine is even crazy. And once you even look at it and dealing with this stuff, it matters. Why would he come back for fucking fools like us who would look at a brother and don't know what he's done before Yah, but we still want to condemn him because we didn't do what he did or someone else did it? I just wanted to use that brother, again, God rest his soul. I just wanted to use him as an example. I can't hold nothing over his head about what he has done in his past because if he got it right before Yah, all I can do is look at him and love him as a brother and embrace him, and I was sorry when he died. That's what the love of Yah is about. Now, as we continue on, now we still want to find it. Verse 9. He says, for to this end also did I write, that I may know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. Verse 10, to whom ye forgive anything, for I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sake forgave I it in the person of Christ. Paul said, I forgive you because I stand for Christ. That's why I have to do it. Oh, look, all these righteous folks we have today. We love throwing people under the bus and keeping them under there. Okay? Now, why does Paul say this? He tells this church, he writes this letter. Why does he say this in verse 9, 11? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Apparently, the church nowadays is ignorant of his devices, because this is exactly what the church does. Even to the point where you had men who so-called called themselves his good friend wouldn't show up, all because it was about being concerned about what the world had to say about them showing up instead of showing up because from Yah's perspective, if the man was sorrow, then you got to do what you got to do. Okay, so I'm just saying it from a perspective of not knowing the detail of anything. Okay, I'm just saying how we should receive a person as a brother. If they repent, fine. Maybe they know something I don't know. I don't know, but I'm just laying it all out there so that y'all be able to judge, and we know how we should function as a church from this point on. If a person repents, it is our responsibility to forgive them and to comfort them and love on them and to help them feel good about walking with Yah and growing in the faith of Yah. Why? Because if we don't, it shows a lack of love and Satan now has a door. Now, you have something?
Just a thought. I mean, it puts you in a position to be the stumbling block that we referenced in one of the previous service there.
Mm-hmm. It really does. Where 1 Corinthians 4 says to doubtful arguments. In other words, saying it doesn't have anything to do with our salvation in a nutshell. It caused the individual to walk away from Yah. That's what Paul is saying here. You got to forgive this individual. And we'll show that this individual is wrong. But Paul said he was sorry about it. You have to now forgive this individual, because if you don't, you cause this individual to lose their soul. So grieve with overmuch sorrow. Verse 7. Swallow up with overmuch sorrow. Okay? Now, again, we don't know who he's talking to or what the subject matter is about. So I'm just, since I already know, I'm just going to go ahead and share how we understand it. We have to understand what it's talking about, so you go to 1 Corinthians 5. The first letter is 1 Corinthians. Paul is now writing to them, 2 Corinthians, and he's saying, y'all going by the thing I fit for y'all in the first letter? What is the first letter? He's writing to the Corinthians. Oh, we're in 2 Corinthians. The first letter is 1 Corinthians. That's how we know. Okay, since the first letter is 1 Corinthians, let's go find out what man he's talking about. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, that such fornication is not so much as name among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. That's this man Peter. This man had sex with his father's wife. So since it says his father's wife, it wasn't his mother, it was his stepmom. This man had sex with his stepmom. Because it wasn't saying his mother, if it was his. So it was his father's wife. One of our fathers, I believe Reuben did the same thing to our father, Jacob. Reuben slept with his father's wife. So you have the same thing that's happening in this Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 5, and Paul is writing to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, saying, did you handle that the way that I told you to? Did you straighten it out, and did you forgive this man once this man has been sorry about this incident? So as we continue on, we know that as Paul said, I wrote to you about, we go back now to 1 Corinthians and realize this is what Paul's referring to. He's talking about this man. Then Paul says this, so now he's dealing with the issue of why they're not forgiven. Verse 2, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. You have something? Okay, in the name of Yehoshua Mashiach, verse 4, when you are gathered together, what did he say in 2 Corinthians? There were many. When you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Yehoshua Mashiach, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Yehoshua. He was saying, separate yourself from the man. They separate themselves from the man. He becomes sorry and come back and repent before the church, but they still don't want to deal with him. Paul writes another letter about it. Verse 6 now, he says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, what he was dealing with them about in the first letter is that at first they wasn't doing nothing about it. Then Paul confronts them, and then they do something about it. Then they go way overboard, don't want to have nothing to do with him at all, even when he tried to come back and get it right. So Paul writes the second letter to deal with him about the first letter that he had wrote about the incident in 1 Corinthians 5. This is how we got to study. We got to pay attention to every detail of the scripture, and as we do so, we'll start seeing the scripture, and then we won't just go and just snatch something out of the scripture and start teaching on it like most preachers do. I used to do the same thing. Just snatch something out of the scriptures and just start teaching on it and don't have a clue what we're talking about. We'll pull out verse 6. You know how you usually mess a little leaven at the whole lump. Well, that's true, but we want to find out what it's really dealing with here before we start jumping off into all this other stuff that we're adding to that verse. Let's understand what's really going on so that we can see the detail of what it means when a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, as it says in verse 7. Your verse 6 of 1 Corinthians 5, your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? If you don't deal with this here, it's going to corrupt the whole church. Don't deal with what? We understand the issue now as it pertaining to the subject matter. So when we get over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll know from now on when we're in Corinthians, anything that he referenced, it should be found in Acts or in 1 Corinthians. We know that now. So as we move through these other books, anytime it references things, we'll know I need to be able to go and find that somewhere to meet this conversation together, because Paul is just not throwing stuff out there that has no connection to other things. That's how we know how to write and divide the scriptures. Once we get to that point, everything will start to come together and we'll see it exactly for what it is. Okay? Y'all got it? Okay. On your own time, just kind of read the rest of it and we'll see how it's done. Verse 9, and I'll say in verse 9 and 10, he says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to keep company with fornicators. We can go find that. Okay? Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world or with the covetous or with the extortioners or with the idolaters. For then must ye needs go out into the world. He's saying, see, here's what Christians make a mistake. They go to verse 9, and then they throw everybody in the basket. So because they said, okay, you don't want to keep company with fornicators and adulterers and all these different things. You don't want to keep company with them. You know, you want to stay away from that. Hey, you get folks, Christian folks that, oh, I don't want to stay around them unholy folks. I don't want to get around Christian folks. Paul makes it clear. He said, now, I'm not talking about those in the world. You got fornicators and adulterers and all this in the world. You go get them. How you gonna reach those that are lost if you now just trying to stay away from all people who got issues that you classify as ungodly? That's what he's dealing with in verse 9 and 10. That's why verse 10, he says, yet not all together with fornicators of this world, or with covetous people of this world, or extortioners of this world. You stay away from an extortioner who calls himself your brother, and he's extorting people. Okay? So he says, again, verse 10, for then must ye need go out into the world. That's why I say, he said, I come to, you know, he says it's a sick to have need of physician. I come to seek and save that which is lost. Okay? Those that are not sick don't have need of a physician. All right? So now Christians need to understand that you just can't take these passages now and say, I don't deal with folks that ain't saved. Stay away from them. That's not in line with the scriptures. So these things I just wanted to show you in the scripture, and we'll come back again as we flow through Acts, and we'll deal with these type of things again. I just want to talk about it a little bit on tonight. All right, any questions or comments? We're good? Okay, we all got an understanding? All right. Let's pray. Father, y'all, we bless your name on today, and we thank you for just another level of understanding. Continue to lead and guide us in all truth. We trust that you always will. We give you the praise in the name of Yehoshua, we pray. Amen. Amen.